Let's pray. Father, we just want to come before you this morning. We just want to ask that you would just be in our midst, working in our hearts, teaching us, guiding us, inspiring us, helping us to live in your image. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have heard the saying, live so that the preacher doesn't have to lie at your funeral. I don't know if you've ever been to a funeral like that where someone didn't really live a godly life, not even really close, and the preacher, for whatever reason, just made it seem like they made it and they're going to be in heaven with everyone and about 97% of the world, all except Hitler and a few child molesters. So we've seen that. You've seen a preacher lie at a funeral. So live so that a preacher doesn't have to lie at your funeral or isn't tempted to. But maybe also think about those around you and live so that you won't have regret if someone that's close to you has a funeral. Do you ever think about that? Someone dies, oftentimes unexpected. I mean, sometimes it's expected if you're 85. If I'm 85, if I make it that long, I'll expect to die that next year. But sometimes it's unexpected. There's been people my own age, people that I went to school with, whatever, that died, oftentimes from bad decisions and sometimes not. And you ask the question, it's like, did I do my job with that person? Did I influence them in the right way? Was I a good influence? Did I take the opportunities I had to encourage them, to share the gospel with them, if that was the case? Sometimes the answer is, yes, I feel clear. Sometimes it's not. And the title of what I want to share today is Becoming Someone That God Can Rely On. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 19. Philippians 2 and verse 19. We're going to read a short section here. Paul's talking about somebody, name of Timothy. And this is what he says. Philippians 2 verse 19. Paul says, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own and not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. Did you catch that? Paul was getting ready to send Timothy over to the Philippians, and he said something about him. He's like, I don't have anyone else like him. He was a unique individual, or at least unique to the people that Paul was serving with. And what did it say about him? It said a few things about Timothy right in that passage. It says he sincerely cared for where people were at. Like, oftentimes we get so wrapped up in ourselves that we don't really think about other people and their state. Like, how are they doing? even the people that you're friends with, even the people that you work with, that you see on a regular basis. Timothy cared about people's state. It says he sought the things of Christ Jesus rather than seeking his own. You know, there's always things, like, we all have a different thing, right? You know, for some of us, we really like our work, and others, we really like our hunting, or others, you really like some sport, or whatever. And it's like, we all have that thing that just, like, really makes us excited, and it's kind of our baby. And it's really easy to seek it, you know? Probably you're good at it, you know? Maybe you're really good at hunting, or really good at your job, or really good at some sport. It's like, I just want to seek to get better at this, and better, and better, and better. Not those things are wrong to do or whatever. They're good stuff. But Timothy chose to seek the things which were of Christ Jesus. He cared about other people, and he cared about God. Verse 22 says that he had developed proven character. He cared about God, he cared about others, and he took the time to become someone that had proven character. And it also says he served as a son with his father. He took the time to serve, you know? He took the time to serve, in this case, you know, finding Paul, and or Paul finding him, however that worked out, and saying, how can I serve? How can I be a help? Question for y'all. Why not you? Why couldn't you become that person that Paul said was someone that he could count on, someone that he could rely on, someone that would sincerely care for other people's souls? Why not? I'm gonna make the case to you if you need persuading, but I'm going to make the case that we each should endeavor to be that kind of person. We each should endeavor to be the person that God can rely on, that sincerely cares for other people's souls, that seeks God's things, that someone can say, there's a need over there. That person is ready and can fill it. Some of the things I want to take a little bit of a time to look at some of the things about Timothy. We learn about him in some other passages. We're just going to take a breeze through a few passages. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Let's see if I can get there before you do. Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. This talks about Timothy's first encounter with Paul. It says, then he, Paul, came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, certain disciples there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. And Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews that who were in that region. For they all knew that his father was Greek. So here we see a couple of things about Timothy is he was a person with good character. He was living right. He had developed a good reputation just in his everyday life before Timothy picked him up. One of the other things I noticed when I was reading this passage is that, you know, Timothy got circumcised. Didn't need to, right? But partially because of the situation that was there, because of what people would think, because of the people that he was going to minister to, he went and did something that wasn't technically necessary in order to make himself a more effective servant of God. And sometimes there's things that aren't technically necessary, but they're the best thing for us to do in order to be used by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. Paul's writing here to the Corinthians, and he says, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son of the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Paul was here sending Timothy off to Corinth. Now, I think Timothy thought that was a prime place to be sent to. It was a messy place to be sent to. He was going to have to get there and work through the situation of a man who's living with his father's wife, among other things. Timothy was willing to have the dirty and not cushy assignment, you know. Where there's people, there's problems, and some places there's more problems, and he was willing to go into those not so cushy assignments. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And verse 2. They sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. When Timothy had become that kind of person that God could rely on, and he was sent, that was some of the things he was sent to do. To establish and encourage. You know, kind of some, maybe you think of establishing more in the sense of like straighten out things that aren't quite right. But just along with it is the encouraging part, which is finding the things that people are doing right and saying, you know, good. Let's keep going here. Let's keep doing those things that you're doing right. You know, because it's easy to slack off if you don't feel like they're making any difference. Here's some reasons why you should care about other people's state. Maybe I don't need to say that, but I think oftentimes we're really tempted to feel like people are just difficult. Like, I'll just like figure myself out and let other people figure themselves out. Like, why should you care about other people and how they're doing? Why should you put that effort in? Why not just live a general, normal, pew-sitting Christianity and go with life that way? Like, why not? Here's a few reasons, I think. Because Jesus cared about your state. Aren't you glad? I mean, I think we recognize that what Jesus went through wasn't exactly fun. He dealt with difficult people just in his life, and his death was harder. But we're here because he didn't just think about himself, because he thought about other people and cared about the state that they were in. Number two, because Jesus is still in the business of caring about people's states. You know, Jesus cares about the state you're in. Whether you think that state is a pretty good state, or whether you think it's a pretty bad state, or whether you think you're kind of doing a little bit middling today, Jesus cares about the state you're in. He cares about the states your friends are in. And one of the best ways I've found to get to know people is to work with them. I think I know Silas a lot better after I worked with him last month for a week. Probably know him quite a lot better if I worked for him longer than that. How do you figure you're going to get to know God without finding the things that he's working on and saying, I want to work together with you? Reason number three, it's an investment, people are, that's going to last forever. In life, we spend our time and money on things that don't last very long, and we spend our time and money sometimes on things that'll last for a lifetime. But your investment in people and in their souls is going to last forever. Number four, you know, you appreciate it when other people care about you. And Jesus said something, whatsoever you would that men do to you, you do also for them. You care when people care for you. Why should you desire this? Why shouldn't you just say, what if you just said, there's other people in the church who can do that. There's other people who are good people, people persons, and there are people who are good leaders, and I don't really need to do that. I'll let other people do that. About 4 months ago or so, we were driving to church here and got about 10 miles away, and my wheels started, one was going this way, one was going that way. We wobbled on into church, and there was someone here, Will, that took good care of us and got my wheels straightened out. We really appreciated that. It was super helpful because I don't think we would have made it back. What about when the wheels come off in your life? They do, right? You know, every once in a while, or maybe more than that. But I mean, wheels come off when you're driving, if you drive junk vehicles. Sometimes when you drive nice vehicles too. But what happens when you just feel like that's what life is like right now. The wheels are coming off. They are all going every which direction. You really want someone to be caring for your soul right then, right? You want someone to walk with you through that. I think people, you might be the only one that knows about a friend that you have or a coworker, or you might be the only one that knows that the wheels have come off in their life. Are you going to rise to that occasion and be the person that cares for their soul? You know, they might not tell it to everyone. Are you going to be that person that cares for someone's soul? You know, you just say, well, there's other people who can do it. Well, probably in church here, there's probably at least 2/3 of you could do construction and build a shed and put a roof on or what have you. And you know what? Through that, you guys have ended up serving not just the group of people here with those talents. You've served half the state, you know, give or take. Now, question I have is, what if you became people, what if each of us became someone who cared for someone's soul? Do you think we could impact half the state? Do you think there could be as many lives impacted and changed for the gospel as there are Hillview sheds in people's backyards? Just a thought. You know, it's not going to happen unless everybody takes that seriously and becomes that kind of person, right? I mean, because you can only personally influence and be there caring for a certain number of people. Jesus really only had 12 that he spent a lot of time investing in. But what would that be like if you found some people and did that, you know? I want you to think of a group of 5 people. Take some time here. Think about the 5 people that you influence the most. Don't fool yourself. You have an influence on people. Maybe it's a good influence. Maybe it's not as good of an influence. But there's people who look at you and develop their character, their way of life, based on what you say and do. Think about those 5 people. It's going to be different for each one of you. Maybe it's a younger sibling. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a friend. But who are those 5 people? I want you to think about this even if you think you aren't doing very well. Maybe you think you're doing terrible in your Christian walk right now. I want you to think about those 5 people. Because they're there. Maybe if you think you're doing terrible, you need to focus on how you can serve them rather than, you know, it's really easy when you feel like you're doing terrible to just look at all your flaws, all the things you've done wrong. And I think oftentimes Jesus wants us to get our focus off of ourselves and say, how can I be of service? How can I serve? How can I be on God's team, even if I've fallen off the wagon? Knowing your Bible is not enough. We probably know our Bibles better than most people that profess to be Christians. You know, a lot of you have been memorizing verses from young on up. And I've heard pastors from evangelical churches say when I was over at the church in Canada there, they're like, every one of you knows your Bible well enough to be a pastor. Well, maybe so, but that isn't enough. Like, you know, it's a good start. It's good that we know it. But you might have heard the saying, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Do you actually care about them with what you're sharing? Or are you just trying to share the truth to show how much you know? How can you care sincerely for someone? One thing is listen. James chapter 1 and verse 19. It says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Pretty important to listen, you know.
hard to give out good advice if you're not listening to figure out what the situation actually is, right? The doctor would need to know what your symptoms is, and so the doctor even has to listen before he's going to prescribe something. Second thing I'd say to be someone who cares about people's state is to be an example. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Turn over there if you would, please. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 12, this was spoken by Paul to Timothy, and he said, you know, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. How old do you have to be until you're able to do something like that? I think a 5-year-old could start putting some of those things into practice. And I think just about every one of us ought to be trying to put that into practice. Be an example. Your conduct, your life, doesn't only impact your eternal destiny, but other people's. The people that are close to you, the people you work with, your siblings, your family, your friends. You're an influence on people. Is it going to be a good influence? Is it going to be the influence of someone who sincerely cares for other people's souls? Who cares enough to live as a good example yourself so that others can feed off of that example. Next thing I'd say is to grow yourself. It's really important to grow in grace. The verses right after that in Timothy, Paul would have said to Timothy, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. It would seem that it was important to grow both in knowledge. He said to read, you know, to read your Bibles. Read good things. But also in action. He said, don't neglect the gift that you have. You know, Timothy had a gift, or gifts, and you do too if you're in Christ. And maybe it's important to figure out what those are. Ask people what they think your spiritual gifts are. Study it yourself. Figure some of those things out and say, am I going to neglect those gifts that God has given me? Whatever that gift might be, am I going to neglect that gift? Or am I going to walk in that gift that God has given me? Paul encouraged that of Timothy, and I think he'd encourage that of us. You know, don't leave that gift on the shelf when you can use it. People aren't going to grow because you tell them to grow. You know, sometimes you wish people would just, I wish they'd grow up, right? You know, he or she's so immature, like, why don't they just grow? They're going to grow if they see an example of someone else who's growing. You know, they're going to grow if they see me growing, if they see you growing. That verse in Thessalonians said that Timothy was to encourage. He says, you know, that's one way that we care about people's state. You know, find what people do well. Encourage them in it. Not flattering them. Don't tell them you're good at it if you're not. But if someone's walking in what God has given them, if someone is serving God well, maybe in a certain area, tell them. You know, there's a lot of criticism in the world. And some of it's necessary. But you can also tell people when they're doing well, you know, be that encouragement that helps them be inspired to walk another day. You know, what is the word encouragement the opposite of? It's the opposite of discouragement. You know, it's encouraging is giving someone more courage to do the right thing rather than giving them less courage. Next, be willing to do the dirty or the messy work, just like Timothy probably felt he was doing when he was sent to Corinth. You know, he probably didn't really like that assignment. You know, maybe when he was being sent to the Philippians, who were doing well, he thought that was a great assignment. But being sent to Corinth, it was going to be some tough conversations, some tough situations. You know, be willing to do the dirty work in life. You know, do the, just in your everyday relationships, do the things that nobody really likes to do out of service to others. You know, when you're in that process of becoming someone that God can rely on, becoming someone who sincerely cares about people's souls, there's a time to share advice or teaching. Sometimes you've learned something and someone else just hasn't come to them yet. And sometimes it can be a real blessing if you can share something with them. Obviously, more is caught than taught. They're going to follow your example a lot more than what you say. But sharing good information or insights or lessons that God has taught you is really important, you know. If you share what God has been teaching you, it might inspire someone to say, I need to be leaning on the Lord. I need to be spending more time with God so that I can get some of those insights. If you're going to be caring for someone's soul, you know, take time to pray together. You know, maybe you see someone that needs some encouragement, that someone that isn't doing the best, or just someone that you interact with. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe they're a Christian. Maybe they're not. Maybe they are nominally one. But when they need prayer, pray with them. Pray for them. Pray together. You know, think about the example, or think about the impact that Jesus' prayer in John 17 had. His disciples were listening, right? And I think that built them up quite a lot. It encouraged them. They knew that Jesus was praying for them. Remember whose disciple you're making. You know, nobody wants to feel like a project. Nobody wants to feel like you're trying to make them into yourself. And you probably shouldn't. because we want to be encouraging people to be living in the image of God. We got to desire the best spiritually for people, even if they don't end up with the same ideas that I do. And then, finally, in this process, we should be a disciple ourselves. It said about Timothy that he served as a son with his father. That means that he had that deep relationship with God, and he also had that relationship with Paul. He had somebody that he sought out as a godly influence in his life to encourage him and to build him up so that he could be that kind of guy that God could rely on. Will you set your face today to be somebody that God can rely on? someone that, you know, your church leaders can rely on? Will you set your face to care for souls? Saved or unsaved, they both need a good influence. You're going to set your face to care for people's souls. Even if they're messy, even if they're annoying, even if they rub you the wrong way. Some people just do, don't they? I bet my personality has rubbed God the wrong way before. I bet each of us have at some time. But God cared about us still. Will you set yourself to seek the things of God? That's what it said about Timothy. Will you set yourself to develop proven character, to be able to share and serve well? I think each of us has that opportunity to become that kind of person that God can rely on. To become that kind of person that was said about Timothy. It said he was someone Paul could rely on. He was someone that could be sent out. He was someone that was known as someone who would genuinely care for other people's souls. Not care about him just so he'd look good, but care about him because they're people. They're people made in the image of God that God desires. You know, God desires them to be saved at the end. He desires them to have the character of God. Will you be that person that cares for souls and makes that, you know, the focus of your life, becoming that kind of person that God can rely on? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the ones that we can look to, the ones from the Bible like Timothy. Thank you for the ones that we have in our day today, the ones that you've molded and cared for and made into those who care for other people's souls. God, would you just work in our hearts, inspire and encourage us to be that kind of people that reach out, that serve, and that genuinely care. God, we need your Spirit to be able to do that, and we just ask that you would work that in our lives today and as we go forward. Just change us more into your image. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.